1 Corinthians 2. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a mystery that it's a code. In other words, it's a code that they can't understand. A mystery is something that's mysterious. You can't understand it. It's a mystery to most people. Even the hidden mystery, which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world, that is the leaders, maybe the leaders of education, maybe the leaders of government, the leaders of business, the leaders of any kind, none of them have understood it. For had they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, now he's quoting his scripture, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart or the mind of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That is God's purpose. What God is going to do, what God's purpose is. In other words, it's talking there about the basic premise, which is God's purpose and what he's doing. What's going on? What your life is all about? Why you're in the world? Why things don't go better than they do and how they would go well? That is all a mystery, and they can't understand it. It's explained here in the Bible, but as I say, it's a coded book. Now, the next verse explains, the 10th, but God has revealed them unto us, us who are begotten of God and who have received his Holy Spirit, to us who have the Holy Spirit in us, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, God is the teacher. God reveals these things to us, and here it is in the Bible, but he reveals what is in the Bible by the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the instrumentality God puts within you to uncode the Bible, to decode it, to make it so you can understand it. The world cannot understand the Bible. The ministers, the electric evangelists on the air cannot understand the Bible. I'll tell you another thing. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. Do they do God's commandments? No. And they won't. And they all feel a very great sense of competition against me. They try to control television stations. They try to keep me off. They'll all go together. But as long as you have any of the government of God in it, they don't want anything to do with it. It gets back to law and government again. And they know that I keep God's commandments. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And they don't seem to understand that. Now it goes on to say that a man couldn't even have human knowledge except for that one spirit that's in us. A cow, an ox can't have it. Right? In the same way, a man who can understand human knowledge can't understand the things of God without the Spirit of God. That's the next verse here, verse 11. And verse 14 says, let me see, but the natural man, just your ordinary man with one spirit in your brain, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the Bible, for they are foolishness unto him. And the Bible is foolishness to most people in the world and to the highly educated in the world. That's why they had to search and see if there was even one Bible down in the law school, the University of Southern California. Now then, let's see, we've been on this second one, the knowledge and education. Well, it requires now not only the Holy Spirit to open the Bible, but the Bible teaches you, and that's where you get your education, but it requires study and prayer on your part to get that education. That now is the second of the seven laws of success. Now, the third law of success I'm getting so even with the way I wrote in large black type here, or print, that I've made up my notes, which I could read 4 or 5 months ago. I can't even read anymore. My eyes are getting worse, apparently. The third is spiritually, in our case, of being begotten of God until we become God, is the third law of success, then, is good health. Well, now we have to look at it in spiritual health. Now, the Bible also gives you a number of laws about physical health, but it's especially concerned about spiritual health. Now, the dietitians say that you are whatever you eat physically, and that's pretty much the truth. Well, you are spiritually pretty much what is fed into your brain, not fed into your stomach, but fed into your mind. For example, in Matthew 4:4, let me see, I didn't put a marker here to that, but I'll turn to it in just a second. Matthew 4:4, on the great temptation of Jesus. Where Jesus was tempted by the devil, and he said, well, I don't need to read it. It's too hard to read, but I know it anyway by heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he is the teacher who teaches us, and that is spiritual food. Now, you have to have spiritual health. And so, you see, the seven laws of success apply spiritually on becoming converted. Now, the fourth one I have as drive or initiative, and that might be called, I have another word for it. I think I wrote it down here I wanted to use. Applying yourself. You have to strive and apply yourself and drive yourself. And it is love put in action, and it's the Holy Spirit, the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, but you yourself have to put it into action. Now let me explain it this way. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now that's in Romans 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You see, we have something to do about it. Just having the Holy Spirit doesn't make you into a God. It doesn't give you the character of God. The character of God requires your action, your effort, your drive, if you please, initiative. You've got to work at it. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God comes into you, it will open your mind to understand the Bible. The first thing the Holy Spirit does, except the first thing the Holy Spirit does, is impregnate you with the life of God. Next comes, in order, the opening up to your mind the way of God. In other words, education, so you can understand the Bible. And it is an attitude. The Holy Spirit is an attitude. And an attitude is the direction you're going, your purpose. It means obey God. It means submission. As men as are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, brethren, the Holy Spirit, and I've said this before, is not going to drive you and force you to do anything. If you're not willing to use the Spirit of God in you, now if you be led by it, it's not going to pull you. It'll show you the way, but you have to use the human effort to go that way. So you have your part in it. Physically as well as spiritually. So the Spirit of God will give you understanding. It'll give you the love of God. It'll give you faith and power. It'll give you all of those things. Well, wait a minute. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Anyway, the fifth one was resourcefulness. Let's see, the fourth, I covered that, didn't I? Drive, initiative, or exerting your own self. And you have to do that. You're led by the Holy Spirit, and you have to supply the driving force, but you're going to need some help. And that comes from some of the other things the Holy Spirit gives you. Now, you're going to run up against problems, and you don't know how to solve them. And it's going to take resourcefulness to solve those problems. Now, part of that is going to come from God, and part of it is from knowing and understanding the Bible, which gives you directions enough to show you how to do and how to solve problems, but also that it by prayer and by turning to God, God will fight your battles for you. God will do many of these things, but it requires a resourcefulness that comes from the knowledge of the Bible and the Holy Spirit and faith, and it's a living faith which... Well, that is the really the... let me see. I can't read my notes any longer. You just have to forgive me, brethren. I can't help it, but my eyes are failing. That is the fifth of the laws of success. Now, the sixth is endurance. Stick-to-itiveness, I've called it. Now, the Bible says, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." I've talked about the four hurdles. The first is repentance. The second is faith, believing God. And the third is growing in knowledge. Now, we've covered all of those, and they do come in on the seven laws of success. Then, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, that one of the next things that the Holy Spirit gives you is power. And that power is to drive you on. That power is power over yourself, power to resist the world. It is power to endure if you need to when the going gets tough and gets hard. Now, seventh comes the guidance of God. And that comes by the same two things I've mentioned before. It comes from Bible knowledge, understanding, and you can only have understanding by the Holy Spirit of God in you, and by prayer, and talking to God. And God will inspire you and just literally put things in your mind. He often puts things in my mind. I sometimes wonder how they got there. But I'm meditating, I'm thinking along that line, and I have so many things of the Bible in my mind anyway already, and he'll cause one of those things to come and just open the door and the solution and how to solve this or that or the other matter. Now, in my position, I have to make important decisions quite often. Very often, Mr. Tkach comes in. He's got these questions that come up from some of the ministers. And that question. And they get into all kinds of ramifications. The Holy Spirit in us is a begettal of the life of God, which is injected into us. That divine life, which we never had before. Then the Spirit of God is an attitude, and you pretty much come to that attitude before you repent and are baptized. But you have to continue in that attitude, which is, that's your direction of life, to go God's way. And the attitude of love, instead of competition, instead of strife, instead of envy and jealousy, instead of all of those things. It's obedience to God instead of to man. Then another is, obedience, attitude, and then obedience to God. And you see, now that would make it 1, 2, 3. Understanding would be 4. Love, love is the first thing the Holy Spirit gives you outside of attitude and a spirit of obedience is understanding of the Bible. God reveals these things to us by His Spirit, but we have to apply the Spirit. It takes drive. It takes application. And sometimes it isn't easy to push ourselves on. The Holy Spirit won't push you. It won't shove you. It won't get hold of you and pull you and drag you. It'll just open your mind. But now it'll give you help, and God will give you help if you need it. Then you have the love of God, and now you have to put it into action, fulfilling God's law and loving even your enemies. And love is an active principle. It's something that you do. It's a way of life. Next comes not your working up faith, but the receiving the faith of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Till you have the very same faith He had. And you have to have faith to rely on God for some things that are out of your power. You can't do of yourself. You have to rely on God through faith to do some things for you. Then it comes power. And those are the things that the Holy Spirit will give you. Now, the Holy Spirit is all of those things. It is divine life put into you. It's the power of understanding, but it has to come with the attitude of submission and obedience. Do you think that the Catholic and Protestant churches of the world have those attributes? No. By their fruits, you know them. I think there was a sermon or a sermonette this morning on attitude. And on bearing fruit. We have to bear fruit. Now, we have something to do with that. Christ is the vine. We are each individually the branch. But we have to bear fruit or we're going to be cut off. And that means that is our doing. That is action. That takes study. It takes prayer. It takes doing. It isn't just to say you got saved and you have nothing further to do but just wait until you go to heaven. It's making you into a God. Now, this is Satan's world, and this world is going to die. Now, I haven't explained all of God's plan here this afternoon. I've done that on other sermons. But God is calling us out of the world because Jesus came as the second Adam. And He came to start a new world, a new civilization. And He only called a few. And no one can come to Him except God the Father calls them. And we come out of the world, but yet we live in it. But we're of the world tomorrow. Living a different way as we have the Holy Spirit and are led by the Holy Spirit. The world is not led by the Holy Spirit. The world is led by lust, not love. The world is led by competition and strife, selfishness, greed, anger, violence, all of those things. And we have to live by love and cooperation and obedience to God. And it's an active life, and we have to, each one of us, bear fruit. Now, there's another thing. Here, one says, well, you see, the churches are, it's like Christ said about the vine. There are many branches, so there are many churches. There's a Baptist church, a Presbyterian, and this and that. And one who left this church and started another church of his own said he's one of the branches, that there are many churches, not just one church. But they're all joined onto the vine. And I'm speaking of individuals. And there are individual churches, but they're all joined onto the vine. Now, there's a church here. There's one that met this morning in this same place. There's another one meeting this afternoon over in the Imperial Gem, I guess it is. We've had churches today meeting in Boston, where I expect to speak next Sabbath. You know, they're all branches too. But we're joined together, and we're joined in and through and by Christ together. We all speak the same thing, not different things. And you find in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4 that the church is like a building. It's all joined together, fitly framed together. And like every joint is welded onto the other joint, so to speak. And that is, not in physical location, but in understanding, in belief, in doctrine, and in the way of God instead of the way of the world. That's why we're to come out of this world and be separate. But there's only the one church in the long run. So I hope that we have the understanding of those things, because the world does not have understanding. The world doesn't understand about God's Holy Spirit and what it is, why we need the Holy Spirit of God. It's like Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And Jesus himself said that of myself I can do nothing. The Father that dwells in me does it. And each of us has to realize that. It takes the Spirit of God in each one of us. But we will all believe the same thing. We'll all speak the same thing. We all live the same way, which is God's way. We all have come out of the world. And yet we're joined together through Christ and through his principles. And we're a united body. And we must produce fruit. And individually, each of you must produce fruit. And so we have many things for you to do. And I noticed that today that they were asking for volunteers to do this and that. Now, in a co-worker letter, well, it was next to the last one now, I asked for contributions for the summer camps because there was a need. Well, a lot of the people in God's church are bearing fruit. Actually, twice the amount that was a bare need came in because brethren were liberal and brethren were bearing fruit and they responded. Now, that's the part they had to do. I can't do it all. I have my part and each of you has your part. And by the way, if you look at the telecast tomorrow morning, I wonder, are you indifferent to think, well, I don't need to look at it? Well, brethren, it's money that you pay in. Of course, it's God's money, but that's what's paying for it. And each one of those telecasts tomorrow, the one tomorrow morning on Channel 11, the one tomorrow evening on Channel 9, each one of those, just for that 1.5 hour, is costing several thousand dollars. Did you know that? But they reach a lot of people. And telephone calls come in by the hundreds and the thousands as a result immediately from people clear outside of the church. But that's part of your work. I just happen to be the speaker. But you'll notice that it says, this is sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God, not by me. I don't sponsor it. You're all the Worldwide Church of God. The Worldwide Church of God is all of us combined, put together. And we're one body, fitly framed and joined together. Whether we are in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the Philippines, South Africa, England, Germany, or where. One body. Many offices, many things to do, but one body. So let's understand that. And each of us has his own job to do. That's why one scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because we each have something to do. Well, thank you, brethren. It'll be 2 weeks now before I can be back, but I'll see you next time I can.